All right, everybody, welcome back. They're back, right? Episode 9. We had a couple games this week. Episode 9.
But who's counting?
Yeah, everyone's counting, right? As long as they're doing good. But so welcome back, everybody. Actually, I'm pretty sure there are people listening now because people are asking. So here's another episode, the latest and greatest episode of Fans United Podcast with former DC United player Devin McTavish.
Hello.
Eric Hunsecker, who does multiple hats, does everything, video, podcasting, audio, all the good stuff, comedy, and myself, Chris Wimmer. So let's jump right into it, guys. The last time we talked in the video podcast, we were getting ready for the two games. We haven't talked after the draw with Montreal, and I don't know about you guys, but I don't even care about talking about it. It was a little bit of a letdown. They got a point, but the best part was the New York game. If you guys want to talk about impact for a little bit.
I think it's important not to jump over the impact game because of the implications of it, which, you know, I don't want to step on Devin, but I think it shows what the particular chemistries of the different lineups are all about. And I also think that Coach Ben and everyone else on the coaching staff looked to me like they were going into it with a two-game strategy like we discussed in the previous week.
I think the players kind of had that mentality about it, too. And let's first give a shout-out to the fans that showed up for Wednesday night. Cause
yes.
I wasn't one of them. I don't know if you guys were. But
No, I wasn't either. There in the rain.
Exactly out there in the rain on a Wednesday night. I mean, so props to you guys. But, yeah, it was one of those games that just kind of, you know, it just didn't really come out with the mentality that they wanted to win the game. They kind of, you know, we talked about maybe they were focusing on New York a little bit. I mean, they put a strong lineup out there, but it just didn't seem to have the tenacity and the bite that they showed against New York. And, you know, I think we were a bit lucky to actually get away with a draw. So, you know, it was good. We didn't hurt ourselves at all. But, like I said, I think they were saving themselves for New York. And, obviously, they came out flying against New York. So, maybe it helped. I mean, you'd like to get 6 points out of a two-game homestand. But we'll take four at this point.
And Montreal seemed like definitely a tale of two halves, too, didn't it? I mean, you know, in the second half, there was definitely a lot more zeal. You know, you saw a better energy. And, you know, later, of course, Coach Ben said, I got them riled up at halftime, and I wanted to go, can you give them that talk before the game next time?
Right. Why does it take halftime? And I think even more, even when they scored, when Montreal scored, they were, you know, the players just kind of started looking at each other and saying, okay, we can't mess this up. We're at home against Montreal, the worst team in the East. Well, almost worst team in the East. And so, you know, they fought back and they got a hard-earned point. But, you know, and give credit to Mike Santos coming on, bringing a lot of energy to the side and, you know, helping the team get a point. So,
Yeah, definitely flat. I mean, that's the word I would use to describe it. Just flat, blah, horrible to watch. But, again, you got the point and – you know, those are one of the games we talked about. Those are the games you need to win. They didn't win it, but they got a point, and whatever. You know what I mean? What can you do? I mean, I just don't really even know what to say about the game. I expected them to win. They didn't win. I expected them to play with, like you say, the energy and the zeal they had in the second half. And they pulled the old United trick where they kind of took the whole first half to wake up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of the slow start, right? And but speaking of the tale of two halves, how about the tale of two games a couple of days apart, right? They came out against New York, bang, right from the beginning. Maybe it's the motivation factor. I was at the game last year, the embarrassing loss where Thierry Henry could do no wrong, right? I mean, amazing back, you know, back to the goal, ball in the air, just turn and score. It was like they couldn't do anything right, but wow, man, they just shot out of there like out of a cannon, and it was great to see from the very beginning.
And for me, sorry, Eric, that's the team that we've been waiting to see all year round.
Yeah.
All year long. You know, it's a team that comes out flying at home. You know, a forward getting stuck in against Thierry Henry at half-field, stealing the ball, driving at the defense, and just having a go and getting the ball on target. I mean, you know, it was a phenomenal goal from Pontius. And the energy just from that moment just carried over through the rest of the game. And again, another shout out to all the fans that showed up for that game because I mean, not a pretty day to be outside. So
not at all.
It didn't look like New York was happy to leave the hotel room.
not just any forward stealing the ball. One who's whose story arc, whose individual story arc, is pretty darn spectacular as of right now. You know,
it is
a guy who fought his way back, and you know, now that you know, in the beauty of hindsight, you look at last season. I look at last season and say, wow, I knew we missed him, but possibly, you know, his potential role, what he could have developed into, seems so much more stark having seen how he's performed now, you know?
This is a big weekend for him.
Yeah, totally.
It was a big weekend for him, and you know he's starting to play with confidence. He's running at guys, and yeah. I mean that goal in New England did a wonder for his game. And Benny yeah. saw that, and he gave him opportunities. I thought he did well against Montreal. You know, he didn't.
He did. He did. He played super solid against Montreal.
He did, and then he showed up, and man, he was flying on Sunday. So it's good to see him, you know, back. What looks like, if he's not 100%, he sure looks like it.
Well, he Pontius yeah. is giving the fans what they want to see. He's giving Coach Ben Olsen what he needed, and everybody like us that's been complaining, especially myself, about Salehe just not getting it done. I mean, since he came in for Salehe in that New England game, he comes on late in the game, gets the game winner, and then he scores a hat trick two games later. So he's got four goals, shoots right up to the top, and he's tied with DC United, with Santos leading their team with four goals. Salehe since then, 15 minutes, and that's it, you know? Just relegated to probably one of the most expensive substitutes in the Eastern Conference right now. I mean,
let's
that's
talk
what they
about that for a second. Not appearing at all in the Montreal game.
No, not
you know,
at all.
I mean, that's a silence that's roaring. You know what I mean? His mm-hmm. absence is kind of speaking volumes there. And maybe, you know, I think, Devin, even though let me say a quick technical note. On the last video podcast we did, technical error on my part kind of took the whole meat out of that episode. There was a big part in the middle, fans, listeners, that you guys missed where we actually discussed a lot of technical aspects. And one of those things was we went into a lot of detail about when does the clock start running for the coaching staff on Mr. Salehi's departure. And I think right now it's 14:59. You know what I mean? I think his 15 minutes is ticking down.
Yeah, I think Devin said 4 weeks. That looks like
Devin said 4 weeks.
I said 4 games.
4 games, yeah.
4 games.
Yeah, 4 games, right.
So 3 weeks, huh?
Right.
Well, you know, this is a two-game week, so he's halfway there.
Yeah. It's, you know, there's a lot of pressure on him, and, you know, I'm not defending him. I don't know him personally. We're just going by his background, and that's what the front office kind of went on as well. I'm sure they did. They've done a lot more research than I have. There's no doubt about that. And sometimes these things just don't work out. But again, I'm not going to write them off. There's a lot of adjustments coming to a new league, coming to a new country, and it takes time to settle in. And he actually, I feel like he wasn't even there for most of preseason. He kind of showed up like the last trip, which was Charleston, 10 days before preseason. So.
It looks good, scored, you know.
It looked good and scored, yeah. But there's a rhythm to playing this with new team and new teammates and, you know, trying to find exactly what Benny wants out of him. You know, I don't think he provides – that's what is so great about having Pontius up top is his defensive work ethic. I mean, he created that first goal all by himself.
It totally, you know? And that was complete good defense on his part. He stripped – you know, somebody else, not just somebody else, but he stripped a super strong player of the ball, mm-hmm. turned it back around, took it, you know, didn't even look around for options, just took it, gave
right
it, yeah, he gave a signature move, and bam, you know, the outside of the foot, the little waggle, and bam.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
It was all he could do to not call Eric and be like, he did the move you always talk about. He actually did it on the first goal and his third goal to beat the guy, his very first defender that he beats on the third goal also goes right up to him outside of the right foot push. Man, I called Eric eventually after the game and told him, I saw your signature move you talk about. I can't help notice it now, you know?
Yeah.
That's it. Duck the shoulder, go to the right.
Yep, and I'm just so glad to see him in the current form that he is. I mean, for some reason, just watching that just really warms my heart on, you know, way past sport level, but on a really human level. You know what I mean? It's a nice story. It's a nice story arc, and I'm just really glad that it's coming the way it is.
Yeah, and I don't think it's done.
Oh, I don't think it's – I think it's – just beginning. I concur with you.
So now we're starting to see the chemistry we talked about, and we're starting to see like a core roster of the hot hand, right? Like you got Santos, D-Row, he's definitely part of the core roster, although he hasn't scored. He's playing very well in the midfield. And then you have the dynamic duo. You got Cruz and De Leon, who are just, you know, De Leon has three goals. He could have almost had a hat trick in the game against New York, hit one on the side netting, and then another one just barely misses wide. And then now Pawnee is coming on. So you have this core, and then you throw Dudar in there when he's healthy, and he just really solidifies the defense.
And don't forget Robbie Russell.
Robbie Russell
is doing so much hard work back there, man. Mm-hmm. Just like, and, you know, that's something that we can't overlook is that there's two sides to the coin of the good play we're having right now. And honestly, the heads of it could well be the back line not letting – things get through there. I mean, you know, I saw Russell breaking up so many passes. Dudar is just formidable back there. You know what I mean? He's tall,
the difference maker
strong.
For the defense. If you look at the games without him, they were, I mean, their defense was like Swiss cheese, huge holes, big gaps. They couldn't close down anything. He comes back and it's just like a different story back there, you know?
Well, yeah, we own the air now. You know what I mean? It's,
I don't think I've seen anyone in MLS and watching a lot of games that Thierry Henry played in other countries toss Thierry Henry around like Dudar did.
Yes, exactly.
It was something phenomenal to see, and it's nice to have that on your side for once.
Yeah, because coming into the game, Kenny Cooper's not a small man either, and so you have Kenny Cooper and Thierry Henry with, what did they have, 7 goals apiece coming into the game. It looks like, you know, these are the forwards to watch. This is where the action's going to come from. This is what everyone's talking about, ESPN2 and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And Pontius goes out there and says, you know, not today, not at RFK. I'm going to be the guy to talk about, you know. And it just also shows the defensive issues that they were having. The best defense you could have is just to have a hot offense like that and just come out and score and score and score.
Yeah.
And then the defense doesn't have to do as much. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it seemed like the defense was clearly rusty. They obviously haven't been having to do a lot of work.
Their defense was awful.
It was. It was terrible.
I mean, it was awful.
Yeah. Michael Santos dribbled through them. You know, they triple teamed him. And they looked like so many traffic cones, I think Goff said this week. And I'm going to quote him because it was so apt. And then down the other end, you know, on the next half, you know, Mr. Pawnee has put on one of those, you know, kind of clinics that you see where, okay, take it on down, weave around, go through everybody, and then score.
Yeah, he pulled a move on a couple oak trees. It was awesome.
Yeah,
Santos' move, man. I could watch that over and over and over again. And when they make the playoffs at the end of the year, they're going to look at, like, the top five plays that point to why this team made the playoffs. And that's going to be one of them. In the rain, just at the end line. Looks like there's nothing there. It looks like there's nothing there. He can't create anything. And then he just muscles, gets the ball across, and then, you know, the rest of his history, man.
Yeah, that's the Maicon Santos that Benny knew was out there. It just hadn't been shown on different teams. And, I mean, this guy is phenomenal when he gets the ball. He's becoming a playmaker, too. You know, I actually mentioned earlier in another podcast, I'd like to get him just to, you know, hold the ball up and lay it off to D-Row and then, you know, get his runs in the 18. But this guy's starting to turn around. Half turns, making through balls into people. I mean, creating something out of nothing like he did in the corner on the second goal, and let him keep doing it. Just stay up there and do your thing, Maicon. Okay.
Sure. Confidence since he let that big bammer of a goal in. You know, he let that one fly. Ever since then, he's been riding sky high, man. His confidence is up there.
You could see it in his reaction when he scored that goal too. I mean, he just yells. He just like
he's pumped,
you know,
man.
He's so pumped, and he's just getting so confident, and it's a good thing and can be scary for other teams.
Such an intangible, the confidence. Lee doesn't have it, and it's obvious in practice and the games. Santos has it. De Leon has it. Pawnee's has it now. And you just see, man, you play with confidence, and it's a difference maker. It's a huge, huge difference maker.
I'll tell you what, we didn't even touch on De Leon. I mean, he scored a goal. For a rookie scoring a goal, it just kind of seems to be commonplace now for him.
Yeah, he's just amazing, man. Rookie campaign.
Yeah, he's you know, I can't say enough good things about this kid. But besides, I mean, look at his number.
And don't forget, he wasn't even a sub in the first home opener. He wasn't even a sub. He was just there. They introduced him, you know, because obviously they drafted him. But I remember thinking, wow, he's not even a sub. And now your roster consists of, like, amazing super subs. Andy Nahar's on the bench. Bill Hamid's on the bench. Hamdi Salehi, who's a designated player, on the bench. They're all healthy. All healthy, but on the bench.
Yeah.
That's an amazing roster.
Super subs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
Yeah. Did you say Bill Hamid?
Yeah, Bill Hamid.
Bill's had another phenomenal.
Yeah.
Andy Nahar,
Hamid, Salehi, these guys are on the bench. How many teams would love to have those guys play?
Boskovich.
Yeah.
TCD, I'm holding out a lot of hope for Bronco because there's some real flashes of brilliance that I see with him that I haven't seen from Salehi. There are a lot of like little pieces that I could go and isolate, little highlights of Bronco making things happen. I mean, he's missed a few. Arguably, he's missed as many as he's hit. But I've seen some good work from Bronco, more so than I've seen from Salehi. So I sort of, you know, I'm reading a lot that people are writing Bronco off to waivers, you know, late June, early July. But I'm hoping, you know, out of those two, out of the two designated players, I sort of see more productivity out of him. What about you guys?
I think he's a good player. He just hasn't really found his spot yet with the team. You know, I think it takes D-Row dropping back into midfield really makes it difficult for Bronco to get on the field, obviously. I mean, D-Row is phenomenal going forward, and the defensive effort that he's put forth so far in the season in terms of his midfield role has been phenomenal. And it's tough for – I don't know if Bronco's really grasped that yet. I know it's kind of always been an issue over the past year and a half, so you know, it's been addressed. You know, Benny's talked to him about it, but it's just you are who you are, and you know, sometimes you have the work ethic and sometimes you don't. But on the ball, I think he's a phenomenal player, but I just don't. It's tough for him to get minutes when D-Row is doing what he does. And I know D-Row still hasn't scored, but he's so dangerous. I mean,
yeah, he is.
You know, he's giving assists, he's setting up players for other opportunities, and it's just a matter of time before he hits a bombazo.
Sure, and he's breaking up other plays too. I mean,
he's
hard on the other side of the ball, and that's not to be discounted, you know, because he's getting in between, he's anticipating other teams' passes and then cutting them off, you know, and closing down, getting compact. So yeah, and you just watch his hustle. You know what I mean? He seems to run hard the entire game. I don't know if the general level of fitness is up with our team or if it's just certain individuals who we're seeing on the field more have worked harder in their own training. But, man, I'm just seeing guys running so hard so long now, which I just don't remember in previous seasons. Or it just seems a lot more formidable this time.
Yeah, right. It's like hustle is the Pee Wee Playhouse word of the day with this team, man, you know. Yeah, everybody out there is like hustling. You know, everybody's – I mean, right from the beginning. And even though Santos made that goal happen, who got Santos the ball? None other than De Leon with another header to the outside. Just right there in the right position, in the middle, keeping the play alive, and sends it out wide. And, you know, those kind of things get cut out of the replays, but you see that, and he's just there. He's just always there, you know?
He does seem to be there. Always in the right spot. Yeah. And, I mean, this kid's playing with something to prove, and those are the players that you want on your team.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's take a little break real quick and just talk about we got a Fans of United YouTube channel now. I guess, you know, that's
word.
Eric wearing all the multiple hats. He's got the YouTube brain. He knows about everything that goes on and what we should do there. So he's got us hooked up with the YouTube channel, and he put our very first top 10 reasons to watch Fans of United, which was getting a lot of good a lot of good response. I liked it. It was funny, man.
I thought it was great, dude.
Oh, thank you.
So, thanks to
Eric.
I'm
just out having fun.
Well, it's good, man. I like it.
You and the neighbors.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that your backyard? A little soccer field in your backyard or what?
No, that's a little pitch that's here in our neighborhood, and it's a spot that we like to go to. I went and scouted it with my two little girls. Shout-outs to Violet and Ella. And then I waited till the light got nice. I went back down with my camera, and you saw that bit where the kids were like behind me.
Yeah.
A kid in a United jersey comes and starts dancing behind me, and I could feel something behind me, but I couldn't tell what it was till I actually got home and was editing. So I could see what they were doing.
I just kind of thought that you just hired the kids. I thought they were.
Yeah, it looks like I set it up. I know. Yeah. It looks like I set it up, but that was a spontaneous moment.
We'll do it live.
It was like the mom calling. Yeah, Devin, I'm glad to hear you say we'll do it live.
We'll do it live.
All right, so since Devin's not on Twitter, another little social media thing before we get into the next game, we had a question for Devin on Twitter throughout there, and somebody wanted to know if they wanted to know, what do you see happening with Korb, the way that the roster is kind of working itself out right now?
With Korb, I think Korb's in a good spot. I mean, he's a young guy. To answer, who's this question from, you know?
Giovanni P. At Giovanni
P.
P.
All right, Giovanni P. It's a good question because Corb's a good player and he's a young guy, but I, you know, obviously Robbie Russell, that's his position. So I think kind of Corb is the alternate right back in case Robbie Russell can't go or in case Robbie Russell has to kind of slide into center defense. But Corb's a young player, you know, and he can learn a lot from Robbie Russell. And, you know, there'll be games throughout the season where he'll get an opportunity to play. And, you know, I think he's shown that he's capable of playing, but it's always good to have depth. And, you know, so for me, he's in no position to, I don't think the team wants to get rid of him by any means. I think he's a player that you want to have on the team. And when his number is called, then you know he'll be ready.
His was a two-part question, too. He was saying, Woolard's looked great so far. Is it because he's improved, or does he have a better team around him?
Who's the question from?
It's the same guy. His name is Giovanni.
Same guy. Oh, okay.
Giovanni De Prochita. I don't know.
I'm sorry, Giovanni. It's one question per customer.
Yeah.
Hey, my answer is both, you know? But anyway, go ahead, Devin.
I think you're right. I think you can tell he's kind of playing with more confidence. And, you know, he's got a guy who, not that Pontius didn't work his tail off on the left side last year, but you got a guy who's De Leon, who's just, I mean, he's flying up and down the flanks. I mean, getting forward and coming back and double teaming, helping Woolard, you know, helping him out defensively. And I think the team's overall better. When the key for outside backs is for the team to have possession. That's your only way of having a chance to get forward. So, you know, playing side to side and allowing the outside backs to get involved. You didn't really see a whole lot of that last year, especially when Bronco went down. It was more of a counterattacking team. So what you saw from Woolard was basically just defending. And now this year, the team's possessing the ball a little bit more, slowly building the attack rather than just playing the counter ball. And you're seeing him getting forward into good spots. And, I mean, this guy's got a nice left foot on. He can whip some balls in. So,
yeah, totally.
You know, I think it's a combination of both. He's playing with a lot of confidence. And, obviously, I think the team is a little better, too.
He's part of a really solid unit back there. You know, those guys are doing a super job.
Yeah, it seems super organized, you know, whether that's through different training tactics or just new players, you know. It's just overall better, so it's a positive. That's all I can say.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Woolard's doing a phenomenal job. No one even talks about him. He just kind of shows up every day, and that's the way Woolard is, you know.
I don't know. He's been on our radar. I just want to shout out.
He has been.
We've been calling Woolard's number for a little bit and noticing his hard work. And while you're at it, you know, how about B-Mac getting a shot off last week on Red Bulls?
Yeah, you thought you almost had one there, huh?
Yeah.
He's kind of wide open. They just let him hang out.
Uh-huh.
And, they'll get one before the end of the year.
Oh, yeah, totally.
He's good on set pieces.
The demolition man.
He is, and he's tenacious, he's crafty, and he's, you know, he's looking for an opportunity. You know, I hate in football when somebody says this is an opportunistic offense, but that's what he is. He's an opportunistic defender. You give him an inch, and he's going to grab it and take it and stomp some more out, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's what Pontius did, right, when that horrible rookie mistake from the left back of of New York. And by the way, how much are they missing Tim Ream right now, huh? Ouch.
Oh, lots.
Yeah.
I think they're missing Condi, let's be honest. I think they're missing Condi, William Condi.
Yeah.
I mean, with the two games I think they played with them, they've been stellar.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a team that's a little bit depleted, obviously, in the back especially. So
it was a nice win.
I mean, you could see the frustration on Thierry Henry's face pretty much the whole game. And
yes.
I mean, he's
kind of a book, yeah.
Yeah, he puts a phenomenal goal in and just slowly walks back with his head down. So it's
which was by the way a gimme. I mean, you're not going to do anything about that. It's Thierry Henry. It's a nice shot. You give those away. You're up for, you know, whatever. You just say, wow, nice kick. You know.
Well, what are you going to do, man?
It's such a bummer because that
Joe Willis.
Go ahead.
No, I didn't want to stop you. Thought I just it's coming back to mind that Joe Willis really stopped a bunch of hard balls. And let's remember, when those balls are wet, his job is way harder.
Right.
You know, but I thought he was much more decisive in containing the ball, you know, being on top of it, having those quick reflexes, but just, you know, owning the front of that goal. Big shout out to Joe Willis. A phenomenal game, and in the rain, that is no easy task.
Yeah, who said what in terms of Bill coming back? Chris, you remember that?
Well,
I think, well, you were saying don't change it if it isn't fixed. I thought they would definitely have given I thought I was predicting Bill would get the start against Montreal.
Me too.
Just to kind of give them a rest. And I think, Eric, speaking of doing a good job in the rain, you were talking about how Willis was kind of fumbling it prior to that. So,
Yeah.
I mean, but I guess they're riding Devin's thought pattern and just don't, you know, there's nothing to change if it's not broken. So, I guess.
I thought we'd see Bill in one of those two games. You know, last time we spoke, it was still prior to the Montreal game, but
right.
I got to say, Devin's reading their mind or vice versa. And you're right, don't fix what ain't broke. go with the hot hand. And, you know, if somebody's stopping balls, there's no reason to take them out of the goal.
The benefit of having a player perspective, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, speaking of that, Devin, a couple questions right now, right? So now DC is looking like a completely different team. From the player's perspective in the locker room, what do these guys have to do to kind of remain consistent now, right? Because that's the – now you're kind of getting to meet the season. You don't want to have the ups and downs. You want to be as consistent as possible. How do they approach that, you know?
The same way they've been approaching pretty much all year. And I think at the beginning of the year, it wasn't that they just weren't a team yet. And I think what we've seen over the past 3-4 weeks is an actual team going out on the field and performing – better and better every week, and that's the challenge that Benny has of keeping this team going. And how you do it, I don't know. I'm not a coach, to be quite honest with you. It's tough. It's something that's extremely tough. But, you know, he's got players who, really good players, who are sitting on the bench not playing, and that's how you continue to keep improving. Every player that's actually getting minutes, getting pushed by players that aren't getting minutes. And with the team that the DC has, I think it's phenomenal how much depth they have. I mean, they can put, seem like, different starting 11 in each game and have be in position to win. So it comes down to what and how much they want to win these games. And, you know, it's not getting too high. And when you get high, it's, you know, it's using that confidence to your advantage rather than, you know, just pretending that, hey, we can show up and win. And then when something starts going wrong, it's not getting too low, you know. I mean, when you lose, not everything's wrong, and when you win, not everything's right. So
Yeah. That's
kind of what I imagine Benny to be preaching, that, hey, we still have a lot of work to do. We're not where we need to be. I mean, the only place you want to be is holding the MLS Cup trophy at the end of the year, so until that happens, you can't stop working. And, you know, Benny's preaching that, and the players know that. And none other than the captain, Dave Rosario, he's going to be preaching that as much as possible because he's won pretty much everything there is to win in the MLS. So.
Mm-hmm.
The team has quite the leader.
Yeah. Here. You bring up some really good points, which is that you've got to take things one game at a time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Winning, losing, either. You got to get up in the morning, put your boots on, and go out and do your best. And you're right. You know, you take a long view, stay focused. Don't get real high over a win over New York or get real bummed out over a loss someplace else. You know?
Right.
What you're saying makes a lot of sense.
It's a really long season, and a lot can go on throughout the season in terms of the intangibles of some stuff that's out of your control. So you just have to approach each game with the same mentality that, hey, we're going to come here and we're going to get points no matter what, no matter who's on the field.
Yeah.
Totally.
Solid. So they're up.
They're back at RFK, right?
Yeah, finishing April.
That's the thing, man.
Against Houston.
That's what I'm pretty pumped about this one because
we're
starting to – I think what they showed against New York is, okay, finally – I think they finally figured out how to play at home.
Yeah.
So what are the advantages for the players on the road versus at home?
What are the advantages? At home, obviously. It's nice to be in your own bed and – You know your routine when you're at home. You know, you show up. You can show up to the field when you want to. If you want to get there a little sooner to whatever, get stretching done, get massages, whatever. Whereas on the road, it kind of you have to, you know, be there when the team get everyone shows up together. Obviously, about an hour and a half before the game. So it's good in terms of, you know, mentally preparing. I think it's better at home, and plus you just the being at home, having everyone cheering for you. You know, it's just there's a mentality on the road that, hey, we're coming here to we're going to try to get a point. You know, a lot of teams sit back on the road, and at home, there's just so much excitement because you just want to play and you just want to attack. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just, it's not so much, keep them out of the net. It's how many can we score? And that's what I think they figured out against New York is, look, we can score and we're at home. We're going to do it. And the team's coming in. We're going to score on you. Now, how are you going to respond when that happens?
And let's not discount the whole effect of having everyone cheering for you versus having everyone cheer against you.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, that's an intangible that's really – it seems to play a big role in how teams perform.
Mm-hmm.
There has been some philosophy given to the idea of some teams that can't win at home. Managers and coaches have started putting them up in hotels tonight even before they play at their home stadium.
Actually, Benny tried that last year for a couple
of
games.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they were staying in Crystal City and then riding over. How'd that work out?
It changed a little bit, I think. You know, I don't think it resolved the issue completely. It's on the road. There's a lot of issues on the road. I mean, traveling in MLS as a player is not easy. You're checking and just you're flying commercial flights, and I mean you're flying a commercial 2-3 hour flight to Houston per se, and you know you have to deal with everything that goes on with traveling. If the flight's delayed, getting there 2 hours before the flight, so flying is not easy on anyone, and then let alone waking up the next morning and trying to get ready for a game, it's not always an easy task.
Right, which is a very physical pursuit, and you know anyone who's an athlete can tell you that, you know, even crumping yourself up and sitting in a car for 3 hours and going someplace, you'll get out and you're just not quite right. You know,
right,
you're not,
exactly.
You're not still limber. You're tightened up in funny places, etc.
Exactly. So, why I think the team had so much success last year on the road was because, like I said earlier, DC was basically a counterattacking team last year. So everyone knew on the road, we need to get behind the ball. We need to work our tails off. We're going to win every 50-50 ball, and if something happens going forward, that's awesome. If not, then we'll take a point on the road. And, you know, De Rosario did some phenomenal work last year and got us a lot of points on the road.
On counterattacks.
On counterattacks, yeah. And this team's starting to be able to play some soccer now. I mean, we've got a good group of guys and, you know, learning to play with each other, and the soccer is really starting to show itself. Like the first 15 minutes of the game, I don't think New York got out of their half. We just kept winning every ball and possession and going from side to side, and that's what you want to see, especially when you're at home. Get the guys tired by keeping possession of the ball and keeping them on their heels, and that's kind of the mentality when you're playing at home.
Yeah. And another thing that I've heard people say is, you know, when you've played one particular field a lot, you know where every bounce is on that field. I mean, I can only relate it really to kind of playing golf. You know, I have a course that I play. It's my home course.
And exactly.
I know exactly where the ball is going to bounce when I hit a particular place. And that's the only thing I can sort of relate it to. But I've heard people say that about their home field. And, you know, that's got to have an effect. You know that particular turf. You know, you're used to the exact width and the exact length.
Mm-hmm.
I think that plays into it as well, especially when I look at having played up in New England and what that field situation was like. You know, it's got to be really difficult for us who practice and play on natural grass to go into that turf field, like we talked about on the video podcast.
Right. Yeah. It's a totally different game up there on turf. By the way, where's that country club you belong to? Is that Congressional? Is that what's up?
Yeah, the big movie producer course. You.
Yeah.
I'm a working man. It's a public course. Standard public golf course. Here's the funny thing, Devin. Since you asked, I have a golf course at the end of my street, okay?
Okay.
But instead, I drive almost an hour to play this course that's way out in the country because it's just so beautiful. It's nestled in the foothills of the Blue Ridge. Me and my loser golfing buddy go out there and, like, cell phone coverage is real spotty, so nobody can bother you, you know, and I get out there and I just get completely lost in this other world, you know, where my mind just travels someplace else for 4 hours, and that's why I do it.
Nice. It's like the place I grew up, basically. Foot of the Blue Ridge.
Yeah.
Spotty cell phone coverage.
Beautiful out there.
It's real nice out there. If you ever want to play, Devin, give me a call.
We're getting deep here. Hey, I'm on board.
All right, you guys. So
Chris can tell you my number.
I don't even own golf clubs. So the schedule is looking it's pretty interesting, right? So we have Houston at home and before a 3-game road stand that wraps up at Houston. So the one more game at RFK for Houston this weekend, then a challenging game away at first place San Jose, who's 5-1-1 and leading the Western Conference, which is a pretty big deal, right? And they got Wondolowski, who seems to score at will in MLS, but when he was given opportunity last summer for the U.S. team, he couldn't do anything.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but can we talk about Wondolowski for a minute?
Yeah, let's do it.
This guy is unbelievable. I mean, I'm all for him. I don't even know how to describe it. He's not the most talented. He's not the fastest. He's not the strongest. He's a smart player with an incredible finishing touch that just happened to find a home in San Jose. I mean, he was with Houston for like 4 years and maybe made like 10, 15 appearances, something like that.
Yeah, and then they trade him away and all of a sudden he blossoms into this amazing player. I think that goes to one of those intangibles of team chemistry, you know? It's sort of like the D-Rose story, and possibly what Salehi's experiencing on the other side, which is that, you know, there's a certain chemistry that happens within any organization, any club, any band that you've ever been in, you know? And sometimes it works beautifully. You get these different personalities, and they completely mesh into something that creates a harmony bigger than the individual melodies, right?
Right.
And that's clearly what he's found at San Jose. Wando has become a phenom, you know?
He has. And, I mean, let's be honest. If he wasn't American, he would be a DP.
Can we
throw that out there? Because, I mean, so 2 years of winning the Golden Dude, essentially. He had less assists than D-Row, whatever. So he won the Golden Dude last year, and he's well on his way to doing it this year. I mean, you can't buy that from – who's the other player? I mean, Thierry Henry, maybe?
Yeah.
Is he in that level?
Yeah, I think he is, but still, I know.
I mean, obviously Thierry Henry is, but.
But Wondolowski's been consistent in MLS. He just does it every year.
It's been crazy.
At the Earthquakes. Yeah,
at
I don't know what they're putting in his oatmeal down there, but yeah, it's clearly working. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
so
go America.
Okay, so next game, right? Yeah. Next game, Houston Dynamo coming into our house.
Brian Ching, Will Bruin, who had an amazing start last year and kind of faded off and hasn't really gotten back to that. Brian Ching's just like, I don't think that guy is ever going to stop playing soccer. I mean, just every year, he had that weird situation where he told them not to take him at Montreal. They took him, and he basically gets shipped back for nothing, you know? And then
that was some veteran drama right there.
That was bad.
I felt bad for him. He just wanted to finish his career in Houston, and then Montreal snags him up, and he's like, Anyway,
so he's the best Brett Favre situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and Houston.
But yeah, they're an interesting team right now because they've been on the road since the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean they've gotten some results, but looking at their games, they're not really, especially when Brad Davis is out, which I know he had a calf injury, so I couldn't actually find out if he's going to be available for this weekend. Mm-hmm. But they remind me of a hockey team where they just dump it. So I feel like Houston just kind of lumps it forward and fights for the second ball and hopes for fouls at the top of the box or corner kicks. Yeah. And that seems to be how they've gotten their goals this year.
That didn't work out too well for DC the first couple of games, did it? Just send it.
It didn't. It didn't at all.
A good plan.
But they're starting to figure it out a little bit. And with Dudar back there, I think Bruin is he's a handful. With Dudar back there, I'm not really too worried about it.
Right.
So this will be a good game because – again, still haven't won two in a row, have we?
No, still not.
The jinx is nice how we kind of jinxed them about the two in a row, but then I'm watching the game, and Taylor Twellman decides to jinx Joe Willis and say that Dudar's doing all he can do back there to give his keeper the clean sheet because that's important. And a minute later, you know, Henri puts a little bender in the corner, and I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. Twelman?
Man,
you just don't say that stuff.
It's like saying perfect game, exactly.
Yeah.
So what about Kalen Carr? He comes on and off my radar. How's his season going for the Dynamo?
From what I've seen, he's gotten some time, but hasn't really found his rhythm yet so far this year. Like
he's got a lot of potential to be a dangerous player. You know,
he's a speedster up there, and he kind of, you know, I think it's a kind of the player with maybe Bruin or Ching being the target forward and him kind of running off of headers and layoffs and that sort of thing. But so far hasn't really made an impact. So, you know, hopefully he won't. But, you know, looking at their team, they've been on the road for, 6 weeks now or so?
Mm.
I mean, it's tiring being on the road. like I said, with the travel and everything. So
that may well come into play.
I would hope so. You know, DC has to take advantage of it because then they're on the road for three games, like Chris mentioned, and not playing at easy places. They got San Jose away, which is tough, as Chris, I interrupted you, so.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right. And their away schedule's kind of up and down, so they go to the first place Western Conference San Jose with Wondolowski, but then right after that they get Toronto FC, who, like Montreal when we faced them, is just bleeding goals, hasn't won anything, 0-6-0 right now, and I think right now they're the worst goals against average, and then they come back at Houston. So it's this kind of interesting dynamic. You play Houston twice, and you get the worst and the best of the way, you know. So it's a really confusing kind of road trip. The game against Houston this weekend has a lot of similarities to the Impact, right? You're looking at it, no really roster guys are standing out to, like, look for. I mean, you got the names, you know, like Ching and Bruin, but nobody amazing like an Henry. And it looks like a game that United, how they're playing, should be able to get. But from what they did against Impact, I'm not confident in saying they can do that. So hopefully they learn from that. It was just last Wednesday. Hopefully they learn from that and they get out there and they do what they're supposed to do with teams like Houston and Montreal and then at Toronto on the road. And they get the 3 points and they do what playoff teams do. You know what I mean? That's what I'm looking for from these guys now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
playoff
yeah.
Form, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Houston's a good team, though.
Yeah, they are.
They're a good team, and it'll be a good test for the boys. A test that they should certainly pass, you know, with flying colors. I mean, especially coming off the performance that they had against New York, I think the team should be flying against Houston. So, certainly a beautiful team, but I think they're certainly tougher than Montreal.
Well, it's time to get back-to-back wins. I mean, come on.
Yes, let's do it. Get it over with. Find the next thing to jinx them on.
Somebody put out the stat last week that there's been 27 opportunities to have back-to-back wins at RFK, and we've missed them.
Yikes.
Wow, that's a pretty good research right there.
Yeah.
And that's a horrible number.
That's not good.
0 for 27, basically.
Yeah.
Ah, man. All right, well, this is the weekend. How about that? I feel it.
Yeah, it should be a good weekend for football, right?
Yeah.
Not going to be cold and rainy.
What do you think about the roster? Similar to New York, right? Maybe Andy gets in there for Cruz or De Leon, give him a break. What do you think?
I don't think you can take De Leon off right now, can you? I thought you could, but you can't.
I know. I'm always in the back of my mind. I worry about the college season. You know, you hear so much about the length of the college season compared to MLS. So, yeah, I mean, he's hot, and I just – maybe you give Cruz a break. I don't know. It's Andy Nahar, man. 2 years ago, this guy was the rookie of the year. He was the De Leon, you know what I mean? And now he's just on the bench.
What have you done for me lately?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
That's what sports is all about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's my prediction. This is what my crystal ball is telling me, is that Pontius is going to start.
Are you?
Oh, man.
You know what? I don't know where you got that crystal ball, but I want to get me one.
I told you Eric's in charge of everything. Video, comedy.
He is, dude.
Crystal ball. All right.
Jack of all trades, aren't you?
Yeah.
That Cruz will be starting.
Ah, yes, against Houston. That's right.
Against Houston, you got it. I mean, I remember an interview early on in preseason. He said, "I've already marked those three dates that we're playing Houston." So, I think he'd be ready for that game. So, I feel like you have to put him on the field.
Yeah, that's true.
Good. Yeah.
And I feel like you can't take De Leon off. You know, Ben sees him every day. I'm sure. He knows him a lot better than we do, so he knows if he's mentally getting fatigued and or physically getting fatigued. And it doesn't show on our end, so I'm sure Benny has to be keeping – you know, he'll be on top of things. And I feel like he just can't take him off at the moment. I mean, kid's on fire, so leave him.
Yeah, love the cornrows.
And you beat what's his name about the prediction for that one, too, so you must have had your crystal ball nice and shined up for that.
Well, I've gotten a clue from the coach. Remember Coach Ben Olsen had that great quote a few weeks ago where he said, you know, I asked him what the heck he's going to do with his hair, and he said he's going to cornrow it, but he doesn't have any time, you know. And it's funny.
How do you not have time?
Well, that's what Ben said. Ben's like, I've got kids. What do you mean you don't have time?
You get home at like 1 o'clock. You have time. Come on.
You must be living a good rookie life right now, man.
Well, you know what I think he's doing? These guys get in this groove where, you know, you're working out, you're doing your game, and you're sleeping and eating, and that's, you know, you can speak to this, Devin, that, you know, when you're in the season, you're in the zone,
You know, that's well said. That is true. That is true. And that's the thing about being a rookie, is trying to figure out the balance of how much do you focus, and then how much do you take off, because mentally you'll get very fatigued throughout the year.
Right, right.
So, I mean, you know, I think these – I know a lot of guys' daily routine is waking up, going to practice, coming home, taking a nap, and, like, going out to eat. And that doesn't – you know, I don't know if rookies always
do that.
There's
not much other hours of the day, right?
Yeah, it seems not seems not to be. There's not enough time to get cornrows done, that's for sure.
Sounds like a dream life to a guy like me that has four kids and works in the city.
Considering I get every email from Wimmer at 6:30 in the morning.
He could tell when I'm on the train.
Yeah. I'm not always up at 6, by the way, Chris, just for the record.
Yeah, I don't expect a reply, but, you know.
Well, there are times I'm editing till 2 and 3 in the morning where I go ahead and cocoon myself until, you know, 7:30 or 8 in the morning.
Wow.
But edit out the details of my personal life all you want.
I will. I will. I probably won't. I always say I will, and then I don't. So just to wrap up for an Andy Nahar real quick, though, I mean, I don't see – if you're going to go with the hot hand, Santos isn't coming off. Pontius is probably not coming off. Maybe Andy's sub number one. I mean, he's not going to go play defense, so, you know, it's hard to believe. But Andy can't crack the lineup this week against Houston, most likely.
Well, hey, I was at Dick's this week, and I noticed that they had a new jersey with a vehicle model name, you know, a Volkswagen model name.
Okay.
Across the front of the jersey. Have you seen those, Devin?
No, I haven't. What did it say?
It said P-A-S-S-A-T.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's the new Nahar jersey. Pass it.
Oh, man, I was really trying to figure out where you're going with that one before you...
No, I knew I was getting set up. I wasn't sure how it was going to end up.
This sounds a lot like a commercial. All right.
Listen,
is it time for shout-outs?
Let me just say, I think Andy Nahar is a great and talented player. I don't think he's completely developed yet this season. And I think it's great that we have that depth coming off the bench. I love him coming in the 70th minute with fresh legs and just running at people, taking that energy he's got and that ticky-tack foot skills, you know, and putting it to great use. I think right now, to me, that's where he's the most effective tool.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be like a good number one sub against Houston. We'll see.
Super sub.
We'll see plenty of Andy throughout the year. I wouldn't worry about that.
All right.
Yes.
Any shout-outs, guys?
Go ahead, Wimmer.
I'll just do the shout-out to everybody that bought the Fans United Foo stickers. We sent them out, so hopefully if you should have got them by now. One of them even got shipped all the way to Alaska, so thanks a lot. I don't know how you heard about it, but so we got them out there, and we'd love to see pictures of it. You guys can share it with us on Twitter, your picture of it on your vehicle or whatnot. I got a few looks from the parents of the team I coach. I might have to do a parent-coach meeting, give a little discussion about the motivation behind that.
Disclaimer.
I'm kind of just playing.
You know, I was actually –
role, you know, like I'm not gonna say anything till they do, but
I was actually hoping to sponsor one of your one of your daughter's teams.
Yeah.
And just put FU on the front of it.
Nice.
Jerseys.
Nice.
Do you think we could arrange that? I'll pay for it.
Sure.
Well,
now those of you paying very close attention will notice a new motion graphic at the end of that little promo video where we have a Firebird now with an FU in it.
Yeah,
you know, with the foo in it. My son, the 11-year-old, well, he'll be 11 next week, really likes that. He's like, yeah, Dad, that's better than the FU. So I'm like, okay. So that new motion graphic with the Firebird and the stars and, you know, the film flare is going to be our new tag graphic.
Good. I like it. It's on the YouTube page, right, at the background?
Yes. It's at the tail end of the top 10 reasons to watch. Hey, let me give a shout-out. As always, Luis Perez, he asked for he asked us to sign a foo sticker, and the last time we were all in a room together, I didn't get that done. So, Luis, Harlem Knight, I'm going to send you out one anyway, and the next time I'm in the same room with these guys, we'll sign one, and you'll get two.
Number
all right?
One supporter, by the way. I see that guy everywhere. He's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, serious note, the fan Chico,
yes,
who passed away.
Yeah.
You guys know him or know of him?
Yeah, I heard about the 12-minute thing. That was pretty classy.
Yeah, it was classy by the fans. So thoughts and prayers with his family, friends and family.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think that's my shout out for the week.
Right on. Let me second that. Yeah, I believe his given name was Javier, but obviously a great guy, a big member of the community. I've seen so much outpouring to him, and you know, it's guys like him. You know, when Coach Ben told all of us that day that we were all part of the DC United family, I mean, that goes right to my heart. Chico, you know, you're definitely part of the family. I'm glad to see everybody mentioning him, and I pull one out for the brothers who can't be there with us.
Yeah, class act by all the fans that, that made sure that that happened. Paid respect to him like he deserved.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right on, Doug. So till next week, right, next game, to catch up to you on Monday. Anybody have any recommendations for where we can do our next video podcast, go ahead and send them to us on Twitter.
Give us a shout.
Yeah, Fans United, or you can find Eric at Fancore, and no, Devin Fanish is not on Twitter yet. And that's it. This is where the...
Hey, maybe we could do one out in the middle of that soccer field, you know?
There you go. With the boys.
Well,
all right, guys. Catch you later. Thanks for listening.
All right, sounds good. Thanks to all the fans who are listening. Really appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
Appreciate it, guys. Bye.